already got it.
Good morning. How's everybody doing out there? Welcome to the Side John. It's your host, Dennis Holmes. I'm here with my co-host, the Chocolate Girl.
Good morning. I hope everybody can see me. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. We got a special guest in the building today. We got Big Bentley Niece in the house, the credit medic. All right. In my eyes, she's a preacher. Definitely a public speaker. Okay. If you're not listening to her in the morning on your Instagram, as she's telling you at the end, come on somebody, then you're gonna be missing out. All right.
Come on somebody.
And you're gonna be missing out. All right. But listen, I'm glad to have you on the show today.
Yes, and thank you. It's been a long time coming. Thank you for your patience.
No problem.
I know that you've been DMing me and all that kind of stuff. So, I kind of just been at like a standstill for a little bit, just trying to hear God's voice and walk in my alignment. And sometimes it's very important for me to just be still and not do too much. So thank you for being patient during that process.
No problem. I want to start this off with this letter. Somebody wrote a letter to you. Usually we get letter to the side jump, but somebody wrote a letter to you because they have a credit issue and they don't know how to handle it. Now there were three roommates that was in the house. Let me get that out of the way. One roommate died.
Wait a minute. I got to follow this. Hold up. It was three. Somebody wrote me a letter.
Yes. This is to you.
Okay.
There was three roommates that was in the house. One roommate passed away. All right. Mm-hmm. When the roommate passed away, come to find out he was getting credit cards in the other roommate's name. And they've been trying to dispute it. And they don't know how to go about this dispute because nobody's listening to them.
Oh, okay. So you're asking me what would I advise them?
Or what would you say to them?
They would need to file a police report. And then they would need to take that police report and file a report with the credit bureaus and say that they were a victim of identity theft. Because technically, that's what you were. And 9 times out of 10, if you follow all of the right steps, it'll come off. But it may take some time.
Okay.
And then a lot of people was doing that, too, and made it like a thing. But, of course, you doing anything against the law, you shouldn't do. But in that case, you would really be a victim of identity theft. You didn't give this person permission to use your social and your date of birth and your name. So I will file a police report. Make sure you have that, what is it called? The something number from the police report. And then I will file another report with the credit bureaus, letting them know that I was a victim of identity theft, an identity theft report with them, and put the police, the report number on there, and send it away, certified mail, and then wait for them to respond. And that's how we handle that.
Okay. All right. Got some people in here saying good morning. Now, I asked you this question before the show, so I'm going to ask you it again.
Yes.
What made you change your name from Maserati Niche to Big Bentley?
So, like I said, for me, it's about the climb, right? So I didn't just become Big Bentley Niche overnight. It was a process. Like I said, I was Subaru Niche. Then I was Lexus niche, and I was BMW niche, and then I was Maserati, and then I was, you know, now I'm big Bentley. And also I used it as a marketing tool too, because a lot of my followers have seen me evolve, and our people are impressed by material things. So they see you, they like, oh, I want that. How can I get that? So if my success or my material possessions can motivate or inspire others to evolve or to seek financial freedom or stability, then I'm all here for that. So it was marketing for me. It was to inspire and encourage for me. And it was also symbolic for me to see my process over the years. So that's why.
That's good. That's definitely good. Good to know, because I was telling my cousin, who was the reason I actually knew you. He did work for you before at your house, my cousin Kev, and he was like, "Yeah, she helping me with my credit. You gotta start following her."
Yeah, Kev's a very cool guy.
Yes, ever since then I've been following you and I've been Kevin up. But yeah, he the one that told me, he was like, "No, she changed the name. Not mine's writing niche, more
Big Bentley. It's Big Bentley niche. It's Big Bentley niche. I don't know where I'm going next. I might go Maybach niche or something. I don't know.
It's crazy because you used to do a podcast at I think it's 30. Was that 34th
in Lancaster?
Lancaster. Yeah, I used to do a podcast there as well. I was upstairs. You was actually like on the other floor. Right.
Okay.
The day that you interviewed Pooter Brown, I didn't come on that day because I was on vacation.
Oh.
So I missed you. And I was like, dang. I was like, I hope I see you again. I ain't seen you since. But they told me you had interviewed Pooter Brown. And I was like,
I was a good interview. That's like one of my best friends. Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. I didn't even know that. That's cool.
Yeah.
And I've been listening to your podcast, and I've seen that you actually had a vision board party.
Yeah, for sure.
How did that go about? You know, your thoughts on doing a vision board party?
I do them every year with my family and friends. Yeah, I send out a special invite to particular people because, you know, I'm an energy person. And it's kind of more, it's like a vision board party, but manifestation party too. Speaking things into existence and holding each other accountable. So for me, that's what that is. And I do it every year and I cook and, you know, we just create our vision boards. And we have a good time with specific people that I invite. And every year, the following year, so this year and next year in January, we'll bring back the boards from last year and we'll see what was checked off the list. And we discuss it. And we also discuss some of our challenges, you know, why we weren't able to do certain things and just kind of encourage each other and hold each other accountable.
Okay. That's not bad.
It's a good time.
That's something definitely good that I've been seeing out there. Now, it's other things, you know, because you wear a lot of hats over there. You got your own business, you know, you're preaching out here, as I said earlier. You know, you've been...
Yeah.
Start with credit. What made you get into the credit business first?
Actually, it was definitely something that God placed on my heart. I know that for sure. I'm a very spiritual person. And I am very much aware of my relationship with God and when God does certain specific things for me. And I've noticed that when I'm walking in full alignment, the process is so easy. So one day I was just sitting at home and I had not a newborn baby, but my son may have been about two. And I'm like, you know, I had a few rental properties and I was able to make ends meet, but I wanted more money. And I'm like, I'm not going to work for nobody. That's out. And I'm like, you know, I have a new baby, but I need more money, but I'm not going to work for nobody. So let me find me a side hustle. And I've always, ever since I was 16, I've always worked and had a side hustle. So I've always been very responsible with my finances and money. And I've always helped my family and friends with theirs. And I'm sitting on the couch like, what can I do? And I'm like, I don't know, God. And I prayed about it. And then a few days later, God dropped credit repair on my spirit. I started to Google and do the research on how much credit repair was going for and all of the things that, you know, it entailed. And I called a couple companies and I asked them what did their process consist of or what was the consultation like. And actually, I actually had a consultation with a company and I was just doing the research and all that. And maybe 2 weeks later from that process, I got some business cards made and I started advertising on Facebook. And then, I was doing it in my house. So I had to go and buy this little printer. I remember the printer was like $59.99 from Staples, and I bought a pack of paper. And I already had a laptop. And, you know, it started with a few of my relatives paying me because they already knew that I was responsible and how good I was with money and credit and stuff. And then from there, they spread the word. And then from there, Facebook and everybody. And I literally outgrew my house within like 6 months. It was too much traffic. And the feedback and the results that I was getting was so great that I could no longer operate out of my house. Too much traffic. So I subleased the space. And then I outgrew that space and it just took off and it led me down so many different paths. The pleasure that I get from it and the gratification that I get from it is to see so many people become knowledgeable about finances and credit and money and how they then take my teachings and apply it. And then they teach their children. And then I've helped so many people start businesses and so many people grow their business and so many people become homeowners. And it's just a beautiful thing to see. So, yeah.
That's good. That's good. Now, you was telling a story about how you got your first LLC, right? Could you break that down? I know the story, but I want you to break it down to my viewers about you and your first LLC.
So, honestly, I didn't know anything about it. I literally probably was in my early 20s, and I was introduced to this older guy who owned a store, and he also had a few rental properties. And one day, my friend who introduced me into him, she was actually dating him, and we went to the store, and we were talking, and he just had so much knowledge. And I'm just listening. He's like, yeah, y'all need to get LLCs. Da, da, da. And I'm like, what is an LLC? Didn't know much about it, but I knew he said that I need to get it. And I saw his receipts. I saw that he had a store. I saw that he owned rental properties. That was enough for me. And I went and I got me an LLC. I think I went with LegalZoom or something back then. Started my LLC. And that same LLC, I was able to get business funding. And mind you, I hadn't done anything with that LLC for a lot of years. We talking about from my 20s to 30s. I hadn't done anything with that LLC. But as I became more knowledgeable over the years, I was like, yo, I remember that LLC I had comfortable, whatever, I don't want to say the name just in case it might be my business, but I remember that LLC. Let me see if I can get some business funding. And I was able to acquire business funding off of that same LLC that I technically didn't really do anything under. So that was great. So I feel like the people around you or the environments or the atmosphere that you have access to just by you being in certain rooms and hearing certain things can change your life. Now, and of course, I know the full benefit of an LLC. I know all the benefits and, you know, the protection that comes with it, a limited liability company, and it's separating you from your business, all of that stuff. But at that time, I didn't know nothing. I was just in the right place, and I received the right information.
Okay. We also want to know, what is Niche Speaks?
So it's funny because I'm rebranding that part of me. I'm no longer doing credit repair. I'm more so focused on branding. I passed that part of the company over to Kayla. Kayla has been with me for a gazillion years, probably about 7 years.
Okay, all right. So it's still around. I thought you meant like you were dropping it all away. Like,
yeah, I do like consulting. I don't want to deal with or have that one-on-one kind of thing where my time is so consumed. I don't want to do that. I feel like I've done all the hustle bustle grinding, this and that and that and this and that. And I paid my debt and my dues and my contributions and all of that. So now for me, I want to work smarter, not harder. So I'm getting involved in things investment wise and my consulting where I don't have to be hands on. It requires very little of me and I make more money. So that's where I'm at now.
That's good. Now, you got operations, right? Now, when you started off, you probably were solo. When did you start saying, you know what, I need to get some employees? How did that part of the business work out?
So one of the things that I'm very proud of with myself is, and I see a lot of business owners make this mistake. They go out and they get all of the bells and whistles. They get the storefront. They get, you know, they pay for all of this, all of these like, okay, so the storefront, they get, you know, decorate the store really nicely. Everything looks great and it's presentable and looks really, really good, but you don't have the clientele to keep up with all of this overhead. So you're kind of hustling backwards. So I've always allowed whatever I was doing to push me out of that space. So like I said, when I did the credit repair in my house, I got pushed out of my house. I didn't say, you know what? I'm going to get a storefront and I'm going to have an overhead of $3,000 a month. And I'm going to hope and pray that I can do enough marketing and enough this word of mouth and this and that, that I can afford to pay this $3,000 a month overhead. And woo, woo, woo. No, that's not how I did it. I got pushed out of my space and then I subleased the space and I got pushed out of that space. So I'm very strategic when it comes to business and planning and structure and money. So, yeah, did I answer the question?
That does answer the question. But yeah. I mean,
a lot of people just jump in. They just dive in to, you know, the things, because a lot of our people are going for the look. But don't compare yourself to other businesses and the growth and all that, because a lot of times on Instagram, it's not really true. So you're like, oh my God, I'm a nail salon. Well, I looked at such and such nail salon, Soul Nail Salon, and they got the new chairs and the chairs do this. And they offer you this when you come in, and it's champagne and it's all of these things. So now you're trying to keep up with them, but you don't have the clientele to afford that. So right. Don't hustle backwards.
That's definitely true. I had to stop looking at social media for certain things. And I had to start saying, you know, you just got to move at your pace, because you have to get your clientele up for your services to be better. That's how the game has to go. But so we're going to go with contractors, because like you said, you own a couple homes. Have you had an issue with contractors in your real estate life?
Child. The black ones. I just had one a few months ago. I feel like, one, they don't know how to run a business. I don't care if you are a contractor. It's still a business. You have to know how to allocate the funds. So if somebody gives you a lump sum and you know that you got to hire however many people, it is your responsibility to make sure you're budgeting and managing that money right. It's not my responsibility. So even right. if the money runs out, excuse me, if the money runs out and you mishandled it, that's on you. That's your issue, not mine's. I paid you this amount because that's what was discussed, and you need to get this job done. So now they don't have the manpower because they don't have the money, because they didn't handle the money correctly. So now they got to take on another job to bring in extra funds to be able to pay them to continue to work on your project and still complete this new project that they took on. And it just be too much. Now they telling you they coming tomorrow. You don't see them for 3 days. You waiting because you have a time frame. Rather, if you use the bank's money to do this project or you use your own money, the more days that this property that you're doing construction and renovations, the more money you're losing. Every day that this project is not complete, rather if it's not sold or rented out, you're losing. And they don't take that into consideration. So they take on too much work. They're not able to complete the project because they mishandle the money. Sometimes they lie and say that they have all this experience and you see the work and it's trash. Sometimes they cut corners and all that. Then you can't trust them. Sometimes they go to Home Depot and they throw other orders on your order. It's just a lot. I'm over the black contractors, sadly.
Damn. That is damn. Well, listen. Hopefully you don't have no more issues, but
and there's real I'm estate not, game. Because I'm not going to use them.
Well, I mean, I was told in this real estate game is always something.
Yeah, it is. And that's with anything, to be honest. You know, pick your poison, child. Pick your poison. Because with any industry, my dad always say, Ranisha, you got to take what comes with the game. Everything ain't going to be good all the time. You got to take what comes with it. And I think me mentally, me hearing him say that so much, it has conditioned my mind to know that no matter how good something is, something bad is going to come. Just be prepared for that. So when things hit me, it don't be like, oh, it'd be like, yeah, I'm prepared. I knew something was going to happen. So I kind of put myself in that space.
That's good. I do always hear you talking about your dad. That is a great thing right there that you always do talk about your dad.
That's my boy. Yeah, that's my guy. We're like this. Definitely.
That is good. That's definitely good to hear. Now, you do a lot of vacation, right? What are some of your favorite spots to go to?
It's so funny. You know what's so funny to me? It is so funny because you can't see yourself out of your own eyes, right?
Right.
But when people say stuff to me, it'd be like, it's kind of like, I don't know, it's weird. Because I'm like, is that really me? Like, that's what you see? It's like, oh.
Listen, somebody had to tell me. So I know how you feel right now. Somebody had to tell me, like, just this summer, I went to L.A. to the BET Awards, went to Atlanta, went to Baltimore, and then they was like, so where are you going next? I was like, what you mean? I'm like, I don't get what you're saying. It was like, dog, you going somewhere all the time. We were like, where are you going next?
Yeah.
He was in Lancaster for a couple of weeks.
Yeah. You're used to being you and just walking in that space. So you're not paying attention to you. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, I love to travel. Like, I've been to 30 countries. I also travel with my son, my kid. I'm trying to think where we're going to go next month because it's his birthday. But he's like, Mom, I want to go to the studio. He wants to be a rapper, child. I'm like, all the things in the world you could be, you wouldn't be a rapper, but whatever. But I love to travel. I love to travel. I love to travel. And I think my favorite place I'll tell you what was the most interesting place to me, Africa. I think my favorite place in terms of like luxury and all of these amenities and being introduced to new things that we don't have in America would be Dubai. But Africa was the most fulfilling culturally to go back to my home and to be with my people and to understand more of who I am. That was like life changing for me and myself.
We are here. We're still here. She must have got a phone call. She'll be right back, but we are still here. Africa. It's nice.
That's what happens when you use the phone and people call you.
Man, that's why I got two phones. I'll be wondering why I got two phones. That's why I got two phones.
They really need to fix that technology, though. So that doesn't happen.
Exactly why I got two phones.
Yeah. Well.
I
don't have two phones. I do not have two phones.
Sorry.
We're going to keep the one phone.
There's actually three phones.
I'm really interested in talking to her about these contractors, though.
Yeah. She said.
There has to be some black ones that are not shady. Come on now. They can't all be shady.
Well, see, from what I've been seeing from her and some of the people that she used to be with, some of the people that, you know, she used to hang with, if they wasn't doing right, then shit, she's had some shady people.
Oh, no, that's I believe I her. I believe she's telling the truth. I'm not questioning that. I'm just saying there has to be somebody great out there somewhere. Can we find them?
In her eyes, they just ain't black. Ain't no good black contractor.
Well, I'm saying there has to be a good black one somewhere. Can we find them? Because
oh, the contractors?
Yeah, man. I hate to hear that. But, I hope there's some contractors listening now that can get in touch with you that's worth something.
I don't even know if I even want to give them a chance, to be honest.
I know it.
Dang.
They have a hard row to hoe, as my mother used to say, trying to get back in your, you know, get in your
good, in my good grace.
Yeah.
So the, you were asking about the travel. So Africa was that for me. It was life changing. And I got to do a lot of things that I walked with lions. Like, who gets to say that? Like, we walked with lions, me and my son, like literally right side by side. Like, that was like amazing. And I plan to explore some more African countries, like in the next couple months. But yeah, traveling is a must for me. You know, you have your things that you just, you're not willing to compromise or sacrifice. I have to travel. I love to explore, and I love to explore different cultures and see how we're all connected. And through my travels, I've seen that. I'm like, yo, we are all different, but we are all so much still alike in so many ways. And that's important for me. And it's also important to expose my son to different cultures, because I think that was more impactful than him learning about Africa in the history book. It's like, no, you're going to see it. You're going to see where your ancestors came from. We went to Gori Island, where they shipped them from that place off. That was the door of no return and all. It was great. It was an amazing experience.
I haven't been to Africa, but I've been to a lot of
you places. Gotta go. You gotta put that on your bucket list, please. You're going to explore a whole nother layer of yourself when you do that. It's going to be good.
That's good to hear. Now, what about in the United States? What places in the United States would you say was good?
I love Florida. No, I was about to say, I thought about LA instantly. LA is a place for me to go and like, but I cannot live there. I feel like the people are so phony. Everything is so shallow there. And it's just, my spirit is not like super like happy there. I like it to go visit for a few days, and my best friend lived there, so I would go often. But I like anywhere where the weather is warm. So Florida is really, my heart feels really good in Florida. Like, I really love Florida, especially where my dad's condo was. It was in St. Pete Beach. So I love water. So we were down the street from the ocean, literally.
Okay.
And then, so I had access to the beach, like literally 7-minute walk. So that was great. And everything is like slow there. When you've been like hustling and bustling your whole life, you get to a certain point where you just want to take things slow. You want to really stop and smell the roses. And that does that for me there. I get to just stop, be still, and appreciate the things that are around me, all of my blessings, and just take it in. So yeah, Florida is a good place for me. I like down south too. Like, I love the hospitality there. Yes. Like the kindness. I like that. So like, you know, that southern hospitality thing.
My joke that I always had when I used to go down south, I used to tell people, like, you go down south, they make you speak to them. It's different.
Yeah. They're like, how you doing?
They come right to you. How you doing?
It's
definitely different.
Yeah, the energy is different. Have you noticed, let me ask you this, have you noticed different places where you've gone, the energy was different?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've noticed that each one got like different things going on. Like when I was in LA, I really noticed that, like you said, there's a lot of fake people there. I noticed that for sure. When I went to Dallas, we went to Dallas, Texas, I had a real good time in. I had too much of a good time because I'm an Eagles fan. I shouldn't have had that much of a good time, but I had too much of a good time. So my dad, he's a Cowboys fan, so he always be like, that's because you're a closet Cowboys fan. Don't worry about it. New Orleans, I had a good time in New Orleans. Memphis, had a good time there. Atlanta and Miami. I actually love going to Miami.
Okay. I feel like Miami's overrated. I would rather go to St. Pete Beach where not a lot of people are, but a lot of people love Miami.
Yeah. But I don't stay in Miami.
Okay. Okay.
I stay in Hollywood.
You know what I like? I like Brickell. You know where Brickell is?
No, I like, it's I stay right in Hollywood. I like Hollywood.
Okay.
I like Hollywood. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Ain't that many people on the beach in Hollywood.
Yeah. So I kind of like low-key places. low-key. I like exotic vacations too. Like, that's my thing. The only thing now I'm kind of getting tired of is just like sitting on a plane for umpteen hours. Like, that wears me out. But I know that that's the only way you're going to get there. So I kind of got to mentally prepare myself for months. So I'm going to go to Brazil. I'm looking for somewhere to go next month with Dupree for his birthday. But I'm also going to Brazil in December.
Nice. See? Yeah. Like I said, you travel a lot? You looking like, I do? Really? Like, yeah.
Yeah. I got a travel fund, child.
Yeah. And before, it's kind of crazy. I just started flying 5 years ago.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Before that, I was scared to fly. I just started flying 5 years ago.
Are you still scared?
Yeah. My nephew,
makes
fun of me. Yeah, my nephew makes fun of me because he'd be like, why you always go to sleep on the plane? I said, because I'm scared. That's why.
I'm so glad that you did that, though. Glad that you did that. So glad.
Right. And I fly on cheap flights. I'm on Spirit.
Okay. Well, whatever. I'm just glad that you pushed yourself out of your comfort zone.
Yeah, that was a good thing. Definitely was a good thing. But now I just come and go as I please, book my tickets, and I'm out.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sounds good.
What was something that you pushed yourself out of your comfort zone and did?
Let me think. I think mine has to do with more personal stuff. Like my communication. Like
I got that problem too.
Like, and I'm still dealing with it now. Things that make me uncomfortable. And I've realized that with a lot of us, like people of color, we will not say something. We'll keep it in here. Rather, if it's to protect somebody, or we just want to avoid the confrontation, or we just don't want to address it. We don't want to hurt somebody's feelings. Whatever the case, we avoid effective communication. And I've realized that effective communication may be sometimes uncomfortable. It may be some things that you really like, oh, damn, I got to tell them this. But it's effective and we need it. Rather, if we need to hear things about ourselves to help us grow or to help us overcome something or maybe our trauma or our triggers, we need to have uncomfortable conversations. So I had to stretch myself and say, Rynisha, yeah, this is going to be real uncomfortable, but you need to say it. Yeah, this probably, they're not going to want to hear it, but you need to say this. Or Rynisha, you may not want to hear it, but they need to say it to you. You see what I'm saying? So that's what that looks like for me being stretched, is continuously working on having effective communication, even when it's uncomfortable, even when I don't want to hurt the person's feelings, or even if, like, whatever the case may be. What if you have a friend and you notice this friend has an odor? And everybody knows, but the friend has been operating in that space for so long. You like, I don't want to hurt my friend's feelings. I love my friend. But you know that maybe if they work on their hygiene and they get that together, they can find the love of their life. Or maybe they can, you know, be promoted. Or I don't know. It could be the stupidest shit. But what do you do?
Yeah, you got to have that uncomfortable conversation.
That's what I'm saying. And
it's all about your delivery.
Yeah.
That's the whole thing. Like your heart can mean so well, but your delivery could be tore up and nobody's going to sit there and listen to what you have to say.
Yo, I think I'm going to do a live about that. That was dope. I'm going to do a live. The live is going to be your delivery has to match your heart.
Right.
Your delivery has to match your heart. Your heart and your intentions, you mean well, but your delivery is not giving me that.
No.
That's a good one.
It's all about your delivery, because ain't nobody gonna take what you giving out if your delivery is not right.
Right.
It's all about your delivery.
So even guess what? Even that's a form of communication too. You know, making sure that your delivery is like not, you know, assertive or like you're attacking or, you know what I'm saying?
Right. That was one of the issues I had in my marriage. So It was more so my communication and my delivery. That was a big issue I had.
But that's not you. That's a lot of us. That's a, yeah, my friend told
I'm
my
not
friend,
gonna lie to you, my communication was poor. Like poor. I ain't gonna lie.
My friend told me the other day, they said you gotta learn to meet people where they are. That's what they told me. I got to learn to meet people where they are. I'm like, explain, elaborate. What does that mean? So she was like, you have to understand that everybody is in different places in their lives. And although somebody may not be where you are, how do you still give them grace and love on them where they are and still try to like push them and stretch them, but not being super judgmental or putting these unrealistic expectations on people? Because for me, if you my friend, I'm not going to allow you to be mediocre. I'm not going to allow you to make excuses. I'm not going to, like, I'm the friend that I'm going to give you the truth. Like, what we doing? Because I want to see you win so bad, maybe more than you even want to see yourself win. So I used to get so consumed with that. And I would be like mad if my friends wasn't like pursuing their dreams or things that we discussed, they didn't start executing and they're not doing it in a timely fashion, or they dyslex, or they taking it for granted. Or I just be like, come on, like, I want you to win. I'm like,
and you realize you stretch yourself out like that.
You do. I used to be going crazy over somebody else's life. Like, why are you tripping? Life is together, Miss Mamas. Why are you?
I had a whole situation about that with one of my homies. You know, it was something that he was doing. And I was like, yo, what you doing is dope. Keep doing it. But he didn't want to keep doing it. And every time I talked to him, I was pushing him to do it. And I just sat back. I said, you know what? I'm going to stop saying. Let's see if he's thinking. Let's just see. Because maybe I'm the only one that's thinking about this. This might not be what he want to do. Like, he don't see the same vision I see for this and where it could have went.
Yeah.
You know, he might just be like, all right, that was cool. I did enough. That was all right. And it was just the talking piece for him. And I stopped talking about it. And he ain't boarded up since.
Wow.
Not one time. Yeah. Occasionally, somebody asks him.
My thing is, though, don't tell me that you desire change and you want financial freedom and stability. You want a happy life. You want to travel. You want all these things. You want to do all these things.
Don't talk about that
to me.
Niche, you got to remember there's two types of people in the world. There's talkers and there's doers.
Yeah, but don't talk to me about it if you're not going to do the work, because that's a turnoff to me. That turns me off, yo. And I have walked away from friendships and relationships from people who are not proactive and productive in their own lives. It is a turnoff to me. And this morning, I just had this conversation with one of my friends, and he was like, Ranisha, you got to understand, my dad didn't give me the space to make excuses. There was never none, even in my childhood. He like, oh yeah, all right, what you gonna do? What you gonna do? You gonna cry? That's why I'm so strong, like mentally. And that's why I don't give myself the space to make excuses. It's like, Ranisha, if you want it, you lock in, you get it done. And I've seen people, I seen Wallow, who is my friend, I seen my friend Roscoe, I seen my friend, one of my girlfriends who was on drugs for a lot of years. I even saw my mom who was in addiction with drugs. And I've seen these people get clean or come home from jail and do a 360. It's because they wanted it and they didn't make excuses. And they knew that it was going to require another layer of their self. Rather, if they had to sacrifice hanging out, sacrifice this heck, sacrifice, they did it. They was disciplined during that process and they got the results that they needed. So you can't tell me, even in my own life, I was discipline got me here. Nobody ain't give me nothing. My discipline and my structure got me here. So you can't make excuses around me. I want to hear it.
They don't want to be disciplined.
Yeah. And they don't want to be accountable. People don't want to hear, excuse me, your life, you're struggling because of your choices. It's your fault. Nobody wants to hear that.
No, nobody want to hear that.
Nobody wants to hear that. But I'm not the friend that's not going to not tell you that. And I want to also want you to be the friend to tell me, call me on my stuff and say, Ranisha, nah, that was all the way wrong what you did, Miss Mamas. You might want to go about that. You know, I want to learn too, continue to learn and grow.
That's good.
So, yeah.
That's definitely good. It's definitely it's hard to see. See, you know, like you was mentioning your friends and how they went from this place and now they didn't make excuses when they got out and they went and they built hard. You interviewed somebody like that too. I forgot you had a guy on your show who got out of jail and was doing big things. And I
you should see what he's doing now. You should see what he's doing now. Like, these people have got behind him and gave him these hundreds of thousands of dollars for budgets. His nonprofit, they are pouring into him. His thing has gone to the next level, but he did the work. He found his space. He found his niche. He found his purpose, and everything is happening. But it didn't just happen from him just saying, I want to do this. No, I saw him put in the work. Saw him, and he's still doing it.
I remember you had him on your show, and I was like, she had a guy on her show that came out. I couldn't remember his name, though. But I remember you were sitting there talking. That's how I knew you did the vision board part.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Man,
can I ask you a question?
Yes.
So we are all programmed. So one, I believe that certain people just have certain things in them. Certain people just got the drive in them, the ambition, and the confidence to just go after what they want. And some people, I believe that based off of their childhood and their upbringing, they have been conditioned to think that they can't. So confidence was never poured into them. Maybe them believing, I'm not coming out. Nope, I'm not coming out. All right. Thank you. Confidence was never poured. Certain things was never poured in for them to, you know, go ahead and go after whatever. So you meet somebody like a me or you, and now you're friends with them or you're dating this person, and they see the space that you're operating, and they're like, damn, like she getting this done or he getting this done. They chasing their dreams. You got the podcast. You're doing your thing. And to them, it's like, dang, I want that too. How patient? How far are you willing to go with your patients while they go through their process to recondition their mindset and to transition into, like, you know, how you see things? How much grace are you going to give a woman? Like, you might like the woman. You're attracted to her. You like, she's a nice lady. And but she lacks ambition. She don't really have goals. And it's not that she doesn't want it. She just doesn't know how to go about it. And the way she was programmed her whole life is like she was programmed like to just be mediocre and to settle. But now she meets you and she's starting to open her mindset. How long do you give that woman to go through that process to recondition?
I don't know. What if it takes her a year? Do you feel as though you wasted a year?
What if it takes her 5 years?
I don't know about all that. That's a long time. That's a long time.
What you gonna do?
Five years. Some people consider they should be married within them 5 years.
How much grace you gonna give somebody? Like, even in your friendships, you're moving at a pace where you're evolving consciously. You know, you're getting access to people and resources. Doors are opening for you. And the friends that you love from the sandbox, they not really moving with you. They see you climbing up the stairs, but they not coming behind you. How much grace do you give them?
But there's different categories that you just put them in. Everybody ain't going to grow with you as you're growing as a tree. Some people are going to be grass.
Okay.
This is what it is. Everybody ain't meant to be a tree.
So then you just kind of remove yourself from them.
But you're still around the grass. You see what I'm saying? The tree's still around the grass.
But so from time much? To time,
yeah, you because know, you may be, like, it's times that you go through so many things with your businesses and financial where you just want to just go chill and lay your head down and talk about something different. Just for a couple hours.
Okay.
So you got a homie that you can call up. Y'all have a conversation that got nothing to do with business. Nothing to do. Y'all just sitting down chilling. Is having a good time. I keep like friendships around, but I'm not looking for friendships that's gonna hold me and we're gonna all be linked to a chain and we're gonna all grow together. I know everybody ain't meant to grow together.
And guess what? At this point in my career, I am looking for those friendships.
Because
it's a mindset. So you're gonna go hang out with your homeboy who's gonna have these stupid conversations with things that no longer interest you. I'm not putting myself in that space where we're gonna sit and talk about a bunch of BS because that's not where I'm at. Now, my friends that are going where I'm going, we're gonna sit around and we're gonna talk about stuff that's gonna help us develop in any area. And it don't just have to be business. But we're going to talk about some stuff like, hey, did you see what's going on in Africa? Well, if we do this, we can give back and do this and help the kids with this. Or if it, like, it's more so like empowerment in different areas and enlightenment and encouragement and support and lifting each other up and just showing up in a space where we are supportive to each other's needs and where we're trying to go. I can't entertain no stupid BS conversations. I can't, and like, I'm not there anymore. And not to say that I won't love on you or be with you, because I would, in terms of, hey, but like me, like us hanging out, probably not. Probably not.
Well, that's usually why you don't. That's usually why you don't really hang out with, you know what I mean, those friends that I'm talking about. You usually really don't hang out with them like that forever anyway. In all honesty, like those, like, you may call them like once in the blue when there's nothing to do, you know, just to check on them, see how they're doing, you know what I mean, stuff like that. Like that's usually how that go. Like I said, you just want to lay your hair down, talk to them, hear something different.
Okay.
Because you've been in the business space and everything and all like that. You just. And boy, you're probably your difference. Probably you on vacation. You'll talk to somebody different day. That's what
I want to sit on a beach chair next to a millionaire. And say, well, brother, right. I see you pull up in that yacht over there. What do you do?
Right.
What's your story? Yeah. What did you have to overcome? You know? Yeah.
And I like to hear stories from people, you know, that came up. Now they entrepreneurs doing their thing. And I, like I said, I'm proud to have you on the show. So, and glad you made time to come out for us. But I do got to turn this over. I got to turn this over to the chocolate girl. She got to get her questions. Definitely do got to turn this over to her, so she can do.
Oh,
her
chocolate
thing.
Girl got some questions. Let's go, chocolate girl.
Chocolate girl got some questions for you. Yes.
Actually, you asked most of my questions.
Oh,
so
wow.
I don't have a lot of them, but this is good conversation. I wanted to go back to the beginning when you had the little baby. And you were making ends meet, but you said you wanted more.
Mm-hmm.
And you said you had a couple of rental properties back then. So I have, my first question is, how did you get started in buying rental properties? Where did that come from?
My mother. So I mentioned earlier that my mom was an addict. She was addicted to crack for all my childhood. So my dad raised me and my brother, single parent father. My mother went to Arizona when I was in 11th grade, and she went there to just get away, to regroup, to start all over. And she was there for 2 years. She came back and she was working at like Arby's in Arizona. She saved all her money. Arby's is somewhere else, another fast food place, but she saved all her money and she came back home and she was looking for a house. Her credit was right, everything. And I'm like, okay, she's like, I'm going to get a house, and if you and your brother want to come stay here, y'all welcome, or y'all want to stay with y'all dad, or just go back and forth, y'all can. Mm-hmm. So when she started looking for a house, she's like, I'm looking for a duplex. I was like, what's a duplex? She was like, it's a residential home where there's an apartment upstairs. And I was like, why are you getting a duplex? We need a house. We need spaces. You're talking about me and my brother coming and you and my little sister. I'm like, Mom, we need a house. She's like, no. I'm going to get a duplex. We're going to get 2 bedrooms downstairs, 3 upstairs, whatever. And I'm not going to have to worry about paying this mortgage. I was like, what are you talking about? She's like, my tenant is going to pay my mortgage. So when she did that and I watched her through that process, I was like, this is cool as shit. You're basically living for free. So then a couple years later, when I got old enough, I bought my first duplex. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, this is cool. And in my duplex, my dad actually gave me the down payment for it, and my dad occupied one unit, and my dad, my brother, and I occupied another unit. So I was like, my dad paid the mortgage, so I was like 21 when I bought my first duplex, and I just was able to stack my money because I was already working and hustling and doing different things. So I was just able to stack my money, and 3 years later I bought my own duplex, another one. So then I had two, and then we wound up moving out of that one, and my dad bought my brother one. So I was able to rent both of my units, and then we moved into the one that my dad bought for my brother. So I had these two duplexes, and I moved into the one my dad bought my brother, and my dad continued to pay the mortgage so that we didn't have to worry about that. We could just, so he helped us with the foundation to be able to get here. Yeah.
Yeah. And we just, but your mom had that knowledge. She shared that knowledge with you.
Yeah. And it's so crazy because my mom was a woman who had a really good work ethic. She didn't have, she had a GED. So she wasn't like this super educated woman, but she had this hustle in her. And when she was determined to do something, she did it. And she came back and did that. And then that was like, everything just started like happening. Yeah.
And talk about the hustle and the grind. You are such a hustler. I learned that just from watching. I only watched 4 videos before we met. 4.
Oh, really?
4. And I said, this woman is a hustler. This is, I mean, in every positive sense of the word, you are.
And I think it just comes naturally from them.
Well, what sounds like it, but what advice would you give, especially women who are trying to hustle with small children, like you did when you had your child?
I feel like a part of hustling, and my dad always told me, Rhonisha, you have a gift. Anything that you do, people are going to support you. He said, that's your gift. Anything that you do. And I've been blessed to do that. Rather when I was doing music, rather when I was real estate, selling my little perfume, my handbag, selling jewelry, whatever I chose to do in my journey, I've always had the support, credit, whatever. So one, I would say, work on your confidence. Believe in yourself. That's the first thing. Believe in yourself. You got to have faith. You got to have a work ethic. Find it in you on the days that you are the most tired to still get up and work on your talents or your craft or your business or your hustle. Find that in you. I feel like anything that you water is going to grow. So keep watering it. Keep watering it. Even if you don't get the results that you want right away, eventually you're going to meet your moment. Rather if it's 2 years, 5 years, or 10 years, but you have to commit to it. You got to commit to the grind. The grind is going to give you what you put in it. It's going to give you what you put in it. So if you're only putting in 10, you can't expect to get back 100. But if you put in 100, you can definitely expect to get back 100. And you may not get the 100 back when you want it. But if you stay to the grind and you water it, you're going to get it back. A lot of people don't have the endurance. Soon as somebody hear no, they're like, oh, well, it wasn't for me. No. No means that way. That route that you was taking is not the route. That's closed. You got a detour. Find another way to get to it. That way, find another way to get to it. Find another way. Get to it. Don't make excuses. Figure it out. You also want to be a people person. You got a product that you're selling or a business. You need people for it to be successful. You That's can't right. say, well, I'm not really, I don't like talking to people. Well, you go ahead and be in a room full of 200 people and leave out of there. Nobody knows what the hell you do. I'm coming in like, hey, how you doing? What's going on? Oh, well, listen, what you do? What do you do? Oh, my God, how can I support you? How can you support me? How can we connect? Let's do some business together. Oh, you know so-and-so. Da-da-da. So my energy, when I come in a room, everybody always say, Rhonisha, I love your energy. And that's just who I am. So work on your energy. Work on your energy. Work on your confidence. Work on you marketing and branding your business or your hustle and letting people, let your voice be heard. Let people know that you are in the room. So all of those things.
Can those things be taught? Or does it have to come from within? That's my question. Because you got it.
Now that's the thing that I'm trying to figure out, right? Because I have siblings. Me and my brother was raised in the same house. My brother's the complete opposite of me. He's more introverted. So I don't know. And then I feel like, too, when I look back at my life, I'm looking at everything that transpired up until this point. And I used to sing and perform ever since I was a small kid. So I've never been shy. I am the person that's going to talk to everybody. And then I'm very intuitive. So I love to have conversations with people. Like, I'm going to walk up to the homeless man on the corner and I want to understand his story so I can understand him better. You know what I'm saying? I want to understand the prostitute. Like, how did you get here, sis? Like, share your story with me. I want to know what your story. Like, I'm intimate in that kind of way with people. So I don't know. I think certain things are already just in me, is what God gave me, my gift. And then certain things I have been programmed by my parents.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, but you sound like you came from good stock, though. That's some good programming, because
that's another thing. Tapping.
Go ahead.
was gonna say another thing people need to tap into their gift that God gave them. Yeah. Outside of your talents, like tap into the gift, like who you are underneath all of these things that the world said you were, that your parents said you were, your teachers, your grandparents, like tap into that. And I feel like you have to spend a lot of time with yourself and with the creator to discover that. And I did.
That was going to be my next question. How do you discover? What about there are people out here who don't even know what their gifts are. They don't know what their passion is and they don't know how to find it.
You have to be still. I had an epiphany yesterday and God gives me these like, I don't know, you call it epiphany, revelations, whatever. I don't know. God gives me these things. I was just telling my friend yesterday that I had to be transparent. I had been going through anxiety like the last 3 weeks and I'm not that person. I pray, I meditate, or I do whatever my spiritual rituals are and I tap into that power and I let it go. I don't really stress about stuff, worry myself to death, none of that. And lately I've been like anxious, like, oh my God, what's next in your life? What are you going to do? What are you going to like? Feel it like all these things going on in my head.
I saw it on your last live.
Like, Prinesha, what are you going to do with your life? You've done all of this. Now what's next? And then I'm like, and you got to do this and remember to do this and that. So I was like, I went to the gym yesterday and God said, Ranisha, the reason that you are experiencing this is because we have to create a space, a welcoming space for God to come in. My welcoming space is my little rituals that I do. My meditation is when I just sit still on my little prayer rug, wherever I put it at, whether it's in my yard or in my house or office, whatever. And I sit still and I hear God's voice speaking to me. God, I welcome God into that space. Whether I'm praying in the car with no music or I'm riding with no music and silence. Rather if I'm working out, a lot of times God speaks to me in the gym. A lot of times God speaks to me when I'm at the beach or whatever. I need to get back to that. And I lost it because I've been distracted lately doing little things. And I'm like, yo, be still. Be still and create that space, that welcoming space and that vulnerability. When you create that space, God is going to come in and you'll be able to hear things because you still, it's this place of vulnerability. So stay in that space. And that's hard because we get caught up in our husbands. We get caught up with the children. We get caught up with school, the side hustle, this and that. But you got to stay in that welcoming space where you're allowing God to stay present in your life. And God will put you and tell you where you're supposed to be. You will hear that, but you can't hear that if it's distractions and chaos. You won't be able to hear that. So I know that I have to stay in that space. And that's what God said, Ranisha, you ain't been operating in that space. You ain't making it. You're not welcoming me in. And one thing about God, either you gonna welcome God in or God gonna come in. He gonna send a storm for God to come in. And you'd be like, okay, God, let me get on my knees. I need you, Lord. So it's you know? So
I get it. I get it. How do you manage your time? What advice would you give to people who are busy, but they don't manage their time well? Busy and they're spinning their wheels. They're missing deadlines. They're missing people, relationships. They're missing taking care of things in their life they know they need to do. That's on the, you know, everybody has the eternal to-do list, right? Mm-hmm. I know we all do. But what advice do you give? Because I know as a hustler, as you are, there are certain things you got to make sure you get done. And you got to get it done no matter what.
So my life is like slowed down a lot at this point. I have, you know, my assets and I have a lot of things working for me in terms of making money. My money is working for me instead of me working for my money. So my life is still, but prior to, I had to get there. And for me, I remember I was talking to my therapist and I was like, yo, I put all this pressure on myself because I'm an overachiever. I put all this pressure and these expectations. And I feel like I work really well under pressure, but it becomes a lot sometimes and I get frustrated and I take it out on people I love when there's a lot going on. And my therapist said, you got too many tabs open in your head. Like, you know how the computer, you open up stuff, you never close it out. It's too many things running. He said, it's okay if you don't complete your task this week. Because I'll be like, oh, I got 10 things I got to do. I'm going to get them done. I'm going to knock it out. Watch me. And then if I get that 8, I feel bad that I didn't complete the other 2 things. But it's like, Rhynisha, give yourself some grace. You did the 8, sister. So you got to give yourself grace, and you prioritize with the level of importance. So what needs to be done now, today? So out of the 10 things, there may be 2 things that need to be done right now. So the other 8 things, okay, I can complete them during the week. And I'm still going to do it in the level of importance, though. Like, what's a priority? And you just balance it. And sometimes that could be pretty challenging when you got kids, you got a side hustle, and you in school, and you may still have to work some part, pick up some part. That's a lot. So you gotta really sit down and figure that out.
Yeah, you really gotta stick to it.
Yeah, it's gonna be structural. Mm-hmm. Like, you have to, if you know, like, and still be good to yourself, right? Like, I still gotta get to this gym. Mm-hmm. And I still got to cook my kids' meals. So mm-hmm. you got to be like, you know what? In the morning from 9 to 10, that's all me. Just like I told y'all when I came on, I said I committed to my spinning class. That's for me. I don't want to compromise that. So mm-hmm. I went and I spent this morning. I emailed y'all and said, hey, I'm going to be a few minutes late, because that's what my therapy, that's what keeps me sane and gives me, mm-hmm. you know, it makes me feel good. So you stay committed to those things and you just create the structure.
Yeah, that was good. You know what? It's really funny, because when you're talking about things that I have on my mind to be my next question. So I don't even have to ask it, because you're giving the answer. Because my
your
next
questions
question
are really
was,
good too. I love okay. it.
But my question was going to be about that self-care and your commitment to it.
I don't play about that.
Besides the spin class, we had fun talking about the spin class this morning. Yeah. But besides the spin class, can you name a couple other things that you do for self-care that you don't compromise on?
Meditation. Mm-hmm. Meditation is important to me. I really hate working out, to be honest. Hmm. But I love the way it makes me feel afterwards, and I love what it does to my body. That makes me feel very confident when I start to see my weight loss, and I can fit my clothes good and, you know, not feel fluffy and all that stuff. So that feels good to me. So working out, listening to motivational videos or podcasts, or mm-hmm. reading self-help books, my Audibles when I'm driving sometimes, going to see my loved ones sometimes. Like, I love to laugh. So I have like my favorite people that make me laugh, and I love to go see them. Like, that's important. Like, my girlfriend called me the other day. She like, sis, we need a moment. I'm like, let's plan it. Cause that's good for my soul. Like, when we get together, it's like we're in high school, it's a bunch of laughter and it's mm-hmm. fun. And it's like, oh, girlfriend moments. Nails, manis, and pedicures are important to me.
Come on. Yes.
I don't really care about here. Like, I'll put this bun back, child won't care. But manis and pedicures are important to me. Massages are important to me. My masseuse just texts me while I'm on this thing, like, can I come today? You sure can. So I give myself the things that I need. I also give myself still moments where I'm not doing nothing, and I try to be okay with that. I get really hard on myself sometimes about that. And I have to have these self-talks like, Rhynisha, you've been grinding since you were 16. It's okay for you to just not do anything. Okay. It's all right. Also too, some days I don't feel like being a mom. I'm like, oh, Dupree, you going with your dad? I need a break. Oh, you going to my sister's house, cousin, whatever. I need a weekend to myself, bro. You're killing me. So I do that too. And I remember my fiance, I was engaged. I used to tell him, he's like, Rhynisha, I need you to do that. I used to be like, today is not a good day for me to do that. I'm feeling really low on my energy, and I really need this space to pour back into myself. And I would let him know, like, I can't do that for you today, because I got to do what I need to do for me. So I need to go buy this water and sit and have a conversation with God for a few hours. Or I need to meditate, or I just don't want to talk to nobody today. I got to get my thoughts together and myself. So I'm good to myself like that.
How do you set those boundaries with people? Because, you know, everybody doesn't like to accept your boundaries. And how do you manage them?
You do it and you don't feel guilty. Amen. You do it and you don't feel guilty. You have to be okay with those boundaries. and not worry about what anybody else is going to feel, because those are for you. So you have to be okay with them. You have to, rather it's with your husband, if it's with your children, your girlfriends, your business, whatever. You, another thing that I don't do, I'm not a slave to this phone.
Hello.
I'll be like, child, oh, that's the tenant talking about the heater. What? Oh, they got to get me to later on. I don't have the capacity to deal with that right now. Somebody else got to deal with it. I'm going to deal with it later. Not right now.
Mm-hmm.
One of my best friends, she's so funny. She travels all around the world. The lady done been to like 70 countries, right? So she's in real estate too. And she'd be like, child, they talking about it's leaking over there. And this one, they saying that this and that, child. And I got to go handle this. And the contractor done burnt me. Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, well, what you going to do? She's talking about to get on this plane. I said, what you mean? She told my girl, I'll deal with that when I come back. I ain't got time right now. Because she overwhelmed. Right. And she like, listen, it ain't going to get done today anyway. And I'm not about to kill myself and have a stroke or run my pressure all up. I'm getting on this plane and I'll be back in 4 days. And then I'll feel rejuvenated and I can take on these problems.
Yeah. See, that's one of my goals in my life is to get to a point where I can just do that. If I wake up tomorrow and I say, look, I need to go on a trip and get away, that I'm able to just do that and not worry about it. And that's my goal, to get to that point that I'm able to do that.
You need to operate. You need to operate at a space that allows you to be the best version of you. Because when you are not beneficial to the people around you. You got to be operating at the highest level of yourself, which means you got to take care of you before you take care of anybody. And I'm not willing to compromise that for nobody, not no man, not no kid. Love my son to death. Everybody will tell you, I'm not willing to compromise that. I know that in order for me to be the best mom I can be and give him everything that he needs, I got to be solid. So you got to work on that. Be good to you. Every day you wake up in the morning, say, I'm going to be good to me first. And whatever that looks like for you, everybody's good to them, it's going to look different. But the same thing you ask me, what do you do for self-care? Ask yourself that. What's the things that feels good to you that takes you higher, helps you vibrate at such a high level? Give yourself those things and don't compromise that.
I receive that. I receive that because I do need it. I do put other people ahead of me. I do. And I do need to stop doing that. You're right. You're absolutely right.
And people are going to respect you more and your boundaries. Mm-hmm. And there's going to be such a greater appreciation for you when somebody don't have access to you all the time. Mm-hmm. It's sort of like us. When we don't have access to something all the time, when we get it, it's like, oh my God, I can have it. You get excited and you appreciate it and you cherish the moment that you was able to get it. So you gotta, you know, don't give everybody access all the time.
That's true. This is such good information. And you know how God puts people in your life to give you messages right on time.
Yeah.
Right on time. And your messages today have been talking to me. Look, I got a page of notes. I don't play.
Oh, that is beautiful. I'm loving on you.
You know, I know that this is the electronic age and people like to, you know, type a page and all that stuff on their laptop. Mm-hmm. But writing, I'm a writer. So writing gives me energy and gives me joy. That's that one thing that feeds my soul. So
do you have a journal?
Yes, I do.
Do you write in it?
I do write on it most days. I'm not consistent with it now as I used to be.
Awesome.
So I'm going to change that.
Be intentional.
Being consistent. Be intentional. Intentional. That's right. Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's something I need to get back to. My journey's been very interesting. And if I ever get a chance to talk to you about it, you'll understand why I'm saying these things right now. You'll say, I get it. But I have to put these things into practice because I have to change this mindset back to where it used to be. And
let's
then beyond. And
let's
beyond.
Go.
Let's so we're
go.
Gonna do that. But I do have another question to ask, and then I'll bring Dennis back in. As a woman, we're both women, and you know, sometimes we run into other women and we can feel that energy. I remember you were talking about the vision board party, and you invite specific people because you're an energy person. Mm-hmm. I am too. I'm born in June. I'm a Cancer. We're empaths, and
yes, y'all are.
That energy thing is really mm-hmm. real with us. If you're a real Cancerian person, that energy is real. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the times with other women, we tend to not mesh with other women a lot. It's that cattiness, that competition, that thing. Mm-hmm. How do you, I know you've been places and spaces and you've received that energy from some people, but give some advice to some women who do not know how to navigate through that in a positive way.
So the first thing I'm thinking as I'm listening to you, the first thing is change your mindset. I'm going mm-hmm. in a room with a lot of Black sisters. We're going to support and encourage each other. We're going to love on each other. Mm-hmm. So stop thinking that, because you automatically mm-hmm. attracting that. So I'm not right. thinking that. I'm thinking I'm going into a room with a bunch of successful women or some that just may be trying to find their way. Mm-hmm. And we're going to connect. It's going to be a lot of love. It's going to be good energy and da da da. Now, if I go into this room, my expectation is to attract that and put that in the atmosphere. Right. So I'm going to get that. But there still may be a few, right? And I'm very spiritual. And God has given me this discernment where as soon as I meet somebody, if they are not right spiritually, I'm going to feel it. And it'd be this very awkwardness and discomfort mm-hmm. in my spirit. Mm-hmm. But I know that that person is struggling with something. It's like God is telling me their struggles without them even saying something.
Yep.
So the people that give me that feeling, I know that they need the most love. So I'm going to go out my way to be the opposite of the energy that they're giving me. Right. Because I'm spiritually aware. I'm spiritually aware of that. God knows that. God gave me that consciously. Mm-hmm. So I have an accountability. I'm not going to match your energy. I got to be the teacher in this situation where I got to come with love. I just read this quote yesterday, and it was the dopest quote ever. They said, if you want to learn how to love better, start by loving somebody you hate. Mm. Deep.
Yeah.
Ain't that deep?
That is. Want
to learn to love better? Start by loving somebody you hate. It mm-hmm. takes an extra. You got to be extra humble to love somebody you hate, baby.
Yeah, you do. You have to be extra humble to even just deal with them, let alone love them, just to deal with somebody you really hate, if you really hate them. So, yeah, you're right.
Yeah. So that's what that's how we handle that.
Well, that's great advice. And it's weird to me. I'm getting a chill because we are so much alike on that. As a matter of fact, one of my good friends now, we are friends now. We're both Cancers, right? Her birthday is mm-hmm. July 20th. My birthday is June 23rd. And the way we met was at work. We were in a training for a new job. We both started this job. She comes in late. The only seat left was in the last row where I was sitting next to mm-hmm. me. And she comes and sits next to me. And you know, I'm like you. I will talk to anybody. I'm that person. I'm you. That's who I am when I'm in a room with people. And so I'm talking to people around me and I say something to her and she is very kind of quiet in that standoffish kind of way, not shy, but the standoffish way. And as she started talking to the people on the other side of her, I heard her talking about how she doesn't like people. She don't like people. Wow. She don't miss that other thing. Right. And then she said something to me and I said, well, look, you stuck with me. I love you, whether you like it or not. We just met. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I said,
mm-hmm. Guess what, sis? Sometimes mm-hmm. that be a defense mechanism for women.
It is.
Because they've been hurt so much or so many sisters did them. Mm-hmm. They're like, yeah, because I don't like nobody. But you really want a sister like you to come along and love on them and show them what that's, you know what I'm saying? So that was good.
And listen, we started this job the second week of June, right? First day on the job. Now, I told you my birthday, mm-hmm. June 23rd, right?
Okay.
I walk in the room on my birthday. She done decorated my chair.
Look at that.
Balloons, gave me gifts. Look at all that. All kind of stuff, look cards, had everybody look sign in the card. And I'm look just at like, that. What in the world? So shout out to you, Shelly, if you watch it. That's my girl.
Shelly.
That's my
Shelly is the friend. You see that? You see that? Now, what if you would have came in and said, child, I don't like nobody either. You see what I'm saying? It took your vulnerability. Come on, somebody. It took your vulnerability.
To this day, she brings that up. She brings it up. She tells other people how I would not allow her to not allow me in. You see
that
what I'm saying?
That vulnerability is humility. Oh, that's humility. Like, but that's what I'm saying about love, though. That's dope.
He put us for a reason.
That's and so now dope. I love it.
We will not let each other go. We might see each other once a year. We live in the same city. We don't see each other all the time.
Okay.
But around our birthdays, we're going to see each other. If that's we haven't even seen each other all year. And throughout the pandemic, that's what it's been. Only around our birthdays. And we got together this past July for the first time in, I think it was 2 years. Because she's been through some things. I've been through some things. And you talking about a good time. We sat.
Can I say something real quick? Let me say something. So this goes back to self-care. Because I'm watching you talk about this woman. And you are so happy and excited. You need to be intentional about that too. Y'all need to link up once a month. Because that makes you happy. You see what I'm saying? Does. You are so happy just talking about it. So y'all need to be intentional. Outside of the kids' work responsibilities, and y'all need to have a girlfriend day once a month.
We made a promise we would start that.
You need
made
to
a
do
promise.
That.
We didn't do it in August because she has some things going on. But this month we're gonna start.
Yep. Be intentional.
I'm gonna talk to her about it. But yeah, that's you're absolutely 100% correct.
Yeah.
About how to manage that. Very good advice because that's how I show up. I'm not for all the negative.
I love
it. Another woman looking nice, I'm gonna compliment her.
Yep.
I'm going to say that. And people find it weird, but I don't care. It's just who I am. That's how I show up.
Right.
So this has been great. I'm gonna turn
back
over to Dennis.
I appreciate y'all so much. Thank you.
Yes. Do you now would you like to give any final words out there to the guests watching and everybody that's tuned in?
I would want them to follow me on Instagram at Big Bentley Niche, BigBentleyNeesh, Big Bentley Niche. And let's just stay connected. My page is pretty interesting. I haven't been doing a lot, because I said I've been still, but I'm about to get back in motion, So, stay tuned. And that's it.
Okay. All right. Well, that's good. Other than that, Chocolate Girl, you got any last words?
Yeah. Well, first, thank you so much for coming on with us today. This has just been a treat. It's really been fun.
Thank you.
Very interesting, very good information, very inspiring for me. People out there, if your heart is heavy, I invite you to go follow her page on IG. She does have a lot of motivational things there. And it's really helped me. Like I said, only watched four of them because I wanted to limit it. I wanted to make sure I had questions for you. But I tell you, those videos that I watched were very positive and inspiring. So to those people out there watching, my final words are, if you are one whose heart is heavy and you feeling uninspired, find someone. Just search. Go follow Big Bentley Niche. Follow her. You can follow me. You can follow Ignorant Thinkers Podcast, The Chocolate Writer. We have positive things on our page. Find something and don't just sit in your depression or in your sadness. There's something out there that will help you. Don't listen to those sad voices that come your way. Reach out. Somebody will help you and pull you out of that.
Yeah, there's a lot of negative people out there in the world. A lot of negative people out there in the world. So make sure you get some positivity. Big Bentley Niche again. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you.
A lot of females I know repost you, and they'll talk to me about you. And I was like, well, I'm having her on the show. Like, you have her on the show, Big Bentley Niche. Like, seriously? Like, yeah, she's gonna be on the show. Like, they couldn't believe that I kept saying it. Like, yeah, she's gonna be on the show. Like, oh my God, I listen to that all the time.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate y'all.
No, I'm glad you came. And for that being said, ladies and gentlemen, Y'all have a great day. Enjoy the rest of your day. All right, y'all.
Take care.
Happy Saturday. God bless.
And I gotta say my thing. Come on, somebody.
Come on, somebody. Come on,
somebody.
All right, y'all. Take care.
You stay on. He's gonna end the show. But you stay on.
Okay. All right.